From the first flight of the German Luftwaffe to the takeoff of the Enola Gay for Hiroshima, World War II plunged millions and millions of people into a near bottomless pit of barbarism and chaos. Radio was there as reason gave way to madness and weapons replaced words. 40 years later, it is still a heart-wrenching witness to history. Here then, as recorded by radio, are some of the sounds and voices of a world at war.
For the Führer, Sieg!
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 After my visits to Germany, I realized vividly how Herr Hitler feels that he must champion other Germans. He told me privately, and last night he repeated publicly, that after the Sudeten German question is settled, that is the end of Germany's territorial claims in Europe.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin. Moscow, Germany, and Russia today signed a non-aggression pact. They have agreed that neither country would declare war against one another and that neither one would come to the aid of a third party in case either nation was attacked.
Mit Polen in der gleichen Sprache zu reden, mit der Polen und der Polen.
I therefore resolve to speak to Poland in the same language in which Poland has addressed us for such a long time.
Es war nur eine Frage.
Once again, we interrupt very briefly this talk by Chancellor Hitler to announce that in London, Parliament has been summoned to meet at 6 p.m. in London, which is 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time today.
This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us.
This is London. Germans aren't ignoring them altogether. The air raid siren sounded in London just a little while ago.
At 4 o'clock this morning, Hitler attacked and invaded Russia. So now this bloodthirsty gutter snipe must launch his mechanized armies upon new fields of slaughter, pillage, and devastation.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
Hello, NBC. This is Bert Salmon speaking from Manila, and this time I've got a real scoop for you. Manila has just been bombed. In fact, right now it is being bombed. The all-clear signal had sounded, and then, without warning, Japanese bombers started bombing Fort William McKinley, Nichols Airfield, and the RCA transmitting station.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
The Navy announces that Wake Island is probably captured by the enemy, and now it is disclosed that fewer than 400 Marines held Wake Island for at least 14 days against heavy Japanese attack.
This is Lieutenant General Wainwright. Subject, surrender. It became apparent that the garrison of those forces would be eventually destroyed by aerial and artillery bombardment and by infantry supported by tanks which have overwhelmed Corregidor.
Franklin D. Roosevelt and Winston Churchill have met on the soil of Africa at Casablanca. There, not far from the noise of war, they drew up battle plans for 1943. plans designed to bring about the unconditional surrender of Germany, Italy, and Japan.
Tonight, troops have entered the eternal city of Rome. Sporadic resistance by the Germans continues. The Fifth Army has battled every inch of the way and entered the Italian capital after an artillery duel 6 miles from the city.
This is Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force. General Dwight D. Eisenhower.
People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force. This landing is part of the concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe, made in conjunction with our great Russian allies.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
Our own ship has just gave its warning whistles, and now the flak is coming up in the sky. Looks like we're going to have a night tonight.
Get it down, Ronnie! Another one coming over.
Something burning is falling down through the sky. They got one.
We are on the beach today, on D-Day. We've just come in. We caught a ride in a small boat which came in from our LST, loaded with 1,000 pounds of TNT. Half a ton of high explosive on this beach, which is still under considerable enemy gunfire. These boys are apparently having a pretty tough time in here on the beaches. It's not very pleasant. It's exposed, and it must have been a rugged fight to get it.
This is John McVane in Paris. Those bells you can hear are the bells of Notre Dame Cathedral. They just begun ringing about 2 or 3 minutes ago, and they're ringing a chime of thanksgiving that French troops have entered the city. We just came in this morning with the first correspondence, the first American car to come in with these French troops. And now all the church bells in the city are beginning. I can hear 3 or 4 more churches, and I'll let you hear them.
This is Arthur Prim speaking from Pacific Fleet Headquarters at Guam. I have just returned from a breathtaking observation trip over the bitter battlefield at Iwo Jima in the volcano islands. And I can assure you that the fighting there is fierce and bloody. As we flew in close to the ground over the southern part of the island where the fighting is centered, we all sensed that below us was developing the most significant and grimmest battle of the Pacific War to date.
This is James Cassidy with the American forces in France. Today, American forces in strength are within actual sight of Germany. Some of them in patrols have already crossed into Germany itself.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin from CBS World News. A press association has just announced that President Roosevelt is dead. The president died of a cerebral hemorrhage. All we know so far is that the president died at Warm Springs in Georgia.
It was announced in San Francisco half an hour ago by a high American official not identified as saying that Germany has surrendered unconditionally to the Allies. No strings attached.
The Allied force, which invaded Europe on June 6, 1944, with its great Russian allies and forces advancing from the south, utterly defeated the Germans by land, sea, and air.
It was hard to believe that this scarred wreck was the famed headquarters of Hitler. In fact, it was, and it is still hard to believe that it was Berlin I saw. It's like something out of a distorted dream. In the valleys of ruin, we saw not a single German. It was hard to believe that human beings had ever lived here.
We are delaying the start of our scheduled program to bring you the latest direct report on the atomic bomb attack on Japan.
The explosion was a big ball of fire. Anyone not having dark glasses would have received a visual shock several miles away. One of the crew members said, "My God," when he saw what had happened. What had been Hiroshima was a white mountain of smoke, and when we saw it first, it was already up to 25,000 feet. This one bomb is the equivalent of a 2,000 B-29 raid.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base.
we won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
The Japanese have accepted our terms fully. That is the word we have just received from the White House in Washington, and I didn't expect to hear a celebration here in our newsroom in New York, but you can hear one going on behind me. The Japanese have accepted fully the surrender terms of the United Nations. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War. It is not, of course, the official VJ Day, but the United Nations on land, on sea, on air, to the four corners of the earth and the seven seas are united and are victorious.